waters in scorching heat. Now I'll just have to remain here with this whining brat and this ineffably boring housewife, here in the shade, stretched out, snoozing gently by a bubbling brook. Oh, you ask much of your friends, Ryan Cawdor.
Be back before dusk. Keep a good lookout for any sign of stickies.
Ryan had his bolt-action Steyr SSG-70 rifle, complete with laser image enhancer and starlight nightscope. His P226 was at his hip. Jack wore his Magnum on his hip and hefted an old M16 carbine on his shoulder. Christy simply carried her snub-nosed Smith & Wesson 640, the double-action model. Jack led the way from the camp, his long hair, bleached whiter than wind-washed ivory, blowing in a freshening breeze. It was a truly beautiful morning, the kind of day when every muscle in your body felt relaxed for the sheer pleasure of being alive.
I feel something, lover.
They all stopped at Christy's words. They'd covered about 2 miles, crossing a hogback ridge as a shortcut toward the Box Canyon where J.B. and Mildred were tending the stock. The only sign of life had been a yellow-flecked lizard warming itself on a sun-baked spike of orange rock.
What?
Just something. It's like if you've got a wag that you drive every day. There comes a time you can sort of feel that something isn't running quite like you know it usually does, but you can't quite put your finger on what it is that's wrong. You know the feeling I mean?
Sure. Stickies, maybe?
Gaia, I don't know, Jack, but it could be. Doesn't seem like a good feeling.
Yeah, let's all take some extra care.
Ryan went out to point, with Christy walking about 10 paces behind him. Jack was a farther 20 steps behind her. All of them had their blasters ready. The trail was steep and narrow, overhung with the long trailing branches of dense spruce. Every now and again the trees would clear, and it would become possible to see way down to the left toward the valley bottom.
Canyon folks often in a mile or so along here. You can get to it by going down along the stream, but this is quicker.
They stood together, the air around them filled with the wonderful resinous scent of the pines. They could faintly hear the whispering sound of the small river as it busied itself among the moss-covered boulders. Jack's vision in bright sunlight was notoriously poor, but in less good light, like among the shadowing trees, he could see better than any of them.
There.
Ryan and Christy looked where the albino teenager was indicating, and both immediately spotted the flicker of darkness in the dappled patchwork below. Even from that height, they could immediately read bad news. The pair of figures were moving in a stooped, loping trot, heads down, like wolves following a trail.
Stickies.
The muties were about 100 feet below them.
They both have firearms.
Stickies never used firearms. No, that wasn't quite true. Ryan could think of a handful of skirmishes with the distinctive creatures where blasters had appeared. But they were exceedingly rare, and never used with anything approaching skill.
Homemades are patch-ups. Long blasters for stickies.
Again, that was strange. The elongated barrels of what looked from a distance like Kentucky muskets, using crude black powder, were specialized hunting weapons. The stickies vanished around the far edge of a granite bluff that protruded from the hillside on the opposite flank of the valley.
They're heading for Canyon. Be on top of J.B. and Mildred real soon.
Think they're deliberately hunting them? No, they're there. What do we do, lover?
We go after and chill them.
The only problem was that the teenager was so light on his feet that he was leaving Ryan and Christy behind him. Repeatedly stopping and turning, looking behind him along the winding path, his face betrayed his impatience.
Quicker. They got faster trail. They're first.
Any place we can see them from above? We've got 2 long guns.
This track drops steep soon. Unless they stop, won't get clear shot. Nowhere.
Fire blast.
Depends on what the stickies are after.
Cattle, or chilling J.B. and Mildred, or scouting. Maybe all three.
Right, Jack. Maybe all three. The way they were running was creepy. Kind of hunting, but knowing where they were going.
Talk's costing us.
The place where the stickies are going to reach the end of the canyon?
Yeah.
No way we can overlook it if we stay up high here?
Nah. Means picking our way in the trees. Too slow. Still wouldn't get a clean shot. Have to chase hard.
Right then. Let's do it.
The trails joined about a quarter mile farther on. The last 100 yards had been steep, with slippery, loose rocks. Christy nearly lost her footing, only just saving herself by a teetering dance on the edge of the path. In any kind of pursuit, Ryan was always conscious of the danger that the prey might have somehow turned and be the hunter instead of the hunted. Down near the stream, the path was damp and muddy, showing the unmistakable prints of the pair of stickies moving fast and low. A thread of water from a bank of glistening emerald moss was still oozing into the center of one of the impressions, showing Ryan that their targets weren't far ahead of them. Ryan stooped and picked a fallen sycamore leaf from the footprint.
Can't be more than 3-4 minutes ahead of us. Looks like they've slowed up some.
Let me after them.
Could be more of them. Stickies go around in tens and twenties, not just in pairs.
The trail squeezed between green-soaked walls of rock. The little river chuckled away to the right, oblivious to the lethal hunt that was taking place.
They drive livestock along here?
Sure. Narrow tracks past. No place else to go.
Listen.
What?
Birds.
I don't hear it. In fact, I can't hear any birds at all. Of course. What a stoop I am. Means the muties are near in front of us.
Jack, whereabouts would JB and Mildred be? They camp this end of the canyon?
No, on the back wall. There's a pool there. Rock house built by old ones.
Old ones?
Christina says that. Old ones. Back before dark nights. Long, long before.
Guess he means ancient Indian ruins. Anasazi, I think they were called. Lots of their places are scattered all around the southwest here.
When did they live in these parts? Same time as Doc Tanner?
We're talking seriously old, lover. Thousands of years and more.
Oh. And they got some of these old houses in the canyon?
Yeah, on the cliff.
We'll take the stickies out. In case there's more of them close by, we'll try it quiet.
Jack bent and stared at the track beneath an overhanging wall of quartz-flecked granite.
Only marks of stickies. Means they'd never been here before. Scouting.
Since the ravening muties generally traveled in groups of a dozen or more, this almost certainly meant that there would be others close by. It also brought an uncomfortable prickling at Ryan's nape.
Christy, you feel anything?
Mm-mm. Been my time of the month. Always messes up the seeing.
For about a quarter of an hour now, Christy had had a muted feeling of danger. But it was so vague and unfocused that she couldn't be certain. It might easily involve the pair of stickies ahead of them, or it might not. The trees thinned out as the entrance to the Bucks Canyon grew nearer. The track became a little wider and climbed for about 100 feet. Jack was still out in front, and he suddenly stopped dead, holding up a warning hand. With his jacket of melded browns, greens, and grays, the teen almost vanished into the dappled pools of shadow and sunlight under the sweeping branches. A wide open space sloped up ahead of them, loose sandy soil with scattered pebbles and a few large rocks. It was obvious that the ridge offered a good viewpoint down into the canyon, where Jack and Christina's stock was being kept, and where JB and Mildred were currently camping. From where Ryan stood with Christy and Jack, they could see nothing beyond the rise. But they could see the two stickies lying on the soft dirt, side by side, legs splayed, each with a long musket clamped firmly to its shoulder. It didn't take a giant leap of intuition to guess what the weapons were sighted on.
There.
Let's take them.
Jack was quickest. The throwing knife buried itself exactly where the skull joined the spine. Ryan dropped his rifle and had the Sig Sauer half-drawn, prepared to use the silenced blaster. But Jack's reflexes were even faster than Ryan remembered, and the boy already had a second blade winging its way toward the other sticky. Jack hadn't anticipated such a fast reaction from the thing, and the knife clipped the creature's right shoulder, cutting its pale blue shirt, but doing no serious harm.
Mine.
Steadying his right wrist with his left hand, Ryan dropped into the traditional shootist's crouch, side on, to present a smaller target to his enemy. He had a tiny shard of broken tongue to take in the appearance of the sticky. Most of the mutated creatures that infested the darker parts of Deathlands wore, at best, rags. This sticky was dressed in a neat, clean shirt and pants, with a black slouch hat. Its feet were bare. Ryan saw the crazed anger in the mutie's face that he'd witnessed many times before. Wide eyes protruded like a frog's, and its mouth opened in a snarl of hatred.
Ah, you fuckhead piece of shit!
The mutie rose to its feet as Ryan opened fire. The range was barely 40 feet, but all three of the 9mm bullets kicked up a small fountain of dirt.
Fire blast.
Ryan saw from the corner of his eye that Christy was about to open fire at the mutie with her own snub-nosed Smith & Wesson.
No noise.
Ryan was moving sideways, about to take out the sticky. But having only one eye gave him limited peripheral vision, and he never saw Jack Lauren sliding toward him through the loose scree, fumbling for the third of his concealed knives. They bumped hard into each other. The boy dropped the weighted blade in the loose dirt, and Ryan inadvertently squeezed the trigger on the blaster, sending a wasted round into the trees. The sticky, its pale, raw lips peeling back in a triumphant smile, leveled the musket at the one-eyed man and pulled the trigger.
Shit!
Ryan winced, but heard the dry snap of a misfiring percussion cap.
Still mine.
Ryan placed his blaster carefully by his feet and drew the polished steel blade of the 18-inch Ponga.